Welcome to the weekly podcast from City Light Church in Lethbridge. For more teaching or to find out more about life at CLC, please visit our website at citylightchurch.ca.
I want to say welcome to you this morning. So good to see you. This morning I'm starting a brand new series, okay? I'm hooking up with a series that our partnership church in Red Deer is doing. It's called Free Your Speech. Can we say that together? Free Your Speech. Before we continue, let's bow our heads and ask God's blessing on this word as we hear it. Father, I thank you that you've created us to be people who want to know you and who want to love you and who are willing to hear your words, words that don't constrict us and confine us, but really words that liberate us and bless us and give the life that you intended us to have here on earth and into eternity. So Holy Spirit, I'm asking your presence would speak through my mouth and would speak to every heart here, that we'd be changed and would be challenged by the word of God, that change and that challenge, that change that it brings would bless not only us as individuals, but everybody around us, and would bring glory to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I want to say welcome to church. Welcome to God's house, God's home, God's people, God's family. Welcome. It's so good to see you here. Like I said, we're starting this new series. I'm so excited about the series because I believe it affects every single one of us and can greatly impact us if we really listen to it and apply his word today. Amen? So, free your speech. Let's say that one more time. Free your speech. Theme scripture for this series is found in Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21, which says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Okay, there are four negative things. I see four killers that can come out of our mouth. And these four things are criticizing, complaining, lying, and gossiping. And all of us have, all of us are not free from any of these things, right? Do you agree with that? We all struggle with these things. Criticizing, complaining, sometimes lying, gossiping. Listen, if I can change this, I can change my whole life. This thing has so much power, so more power than we realize in our life. And that's why we're doing this. What's one of the reasons why I want to do this series, because we hoped to help you with this problem that we all have with our tongues, okay? So here's what I want every one of us to do this morning. I want you to take your hand, and I want you to grab your tongue. Put your hand on your mouth, okay? And I want you to make a declaration this morning to God, okay? Can we do this together? Put your hand right near your mouth, right near your tongue, and say this to the Lord. Lord, free my speech. My speech is going to change. My life will never be the same. In Jesus' name. God loves me. He's for me. He favors me. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You know, the Bible is so descriptive. And the book of James particularly is aptly descriptive of what the tongue is like. In James chapter 3, verse 2, says, indeed, we all make many mistakes. For if we could control our tongues, we would be perfect and could also control ourselves in every other way. And then he gives a description. Four things he said your tongue is like. First of all, your tongue is like a bit. And he says, we can make a large horse go wherever we want by means of this small bit in his mouth. Your tongue is like a rudder A small rudder makes a huge ship turn wherever the pilot chooses it to go, even though the winds are strong. Just a small, tiny rudder, but has great power. Third thing, your tongue is like a spark. In the same way, your tongue is a small thing that makes grand speeches. But a tiny spark can set a great forest on fire. And among all the parts of the body, the tongue is a flame of fire. It could set your whole life on fire, for it is set on fire by hell itself. One more, James says, and your tongue is like a spring. It's like a well. Verse 10. So blessing and cursing comes pouring out of the same mouth. Surely, my brothers and sisters, this is not right. Does a spring of water bubble out with both fresh water and bitter water? No. And you can't draw fresh water from a salty spring. Listen, what comes out of your mouth shows what's in your heart. Right? So is your mouth, are your words, is your mouth, is it sharp? Is it salty? Is it helpful? Is it healing? Is it blessing or is it cursing? Is it full of love or is it full of hate? See, your mouth produces something. And the question is, what's it producing? First thing we got to realize and remember is point number one. Your words, our words, are creative. Your words have power, right? Listen to what Hebrews 11:3 says. By faith, we understand that the entire universe was formed at God's, what? Command. That what we see now did not come from anything that can be seen. God didn't take a bunch of material and then create this world, did he? How did it come into being? He spoke it into being, right? Words are so powerful. So words created all the world. When we speak, our words also create. Agree with that? Every word that comes out of your mouth can potentially have some form of power, right? You know, we live in a democratic country, society. And one of the rights of a democratic country is that we have freedom of speech. Freedom of speech. So what is freedom of speech? Defined as the right to express opinions without restraint or censorship. You think about that. You know, that's good. You know, I mean, freedom of speech. I'm glad for freedom of speech. But listen, just because you can say something does not mean that you should say something. Do you agree with that? Listen, words can do harm or words can help. Our words are creative, right? We need to be careful about the words that we speak. So, our words create. Point A, we create rooms. We can create rooms or spaces with the words that we speak. We can do that. And people can step into the space and the room that we create with our talk and our words. For example, dad's words. If you're a dad here, you're a father, dad's words, dad's room. What's in that room? You know? See, kids can literally walk into a life-giving room with dad. When dad speaks words like, hey son, I love you. Girl, you're amazing. You are beautiful inside as well as outside. You are so special to me. And when dad speaks words like that, those kids want to be in that space. Why? Because there are powerful, affirming words in that room that minister to their soul and their spirit. Amen? Powerful. They want to be there. So, husbands, How about your wife's room? What kind of space are you creating for your wife? Are your words lift-ups or are they put-downs? Right? Well, sweetie, you look fantastic today. I love you. Thank you for all that you do. I'm saying that right to my wife right now. I'm trying to get in favor with her, right? I'm creating a space. How does your wife feel about the space you're creating for you guys, right? How about friends? Friends, what kind of room are you creating? You know, is it a place where you show appreciation for that person in your life that's a friend? Are your words encouraging? Are they positive words? Are they words that are bringing you closer together? You know, as you grow in your friendship, you know, friends sharpen one another. The Bible says that iron sharpens iron, right? Sharpen, not stab, right? Words that don't heal, they don't hurt, right? Is your relationship a safe place? Good question, right? How about the church? How about the church? How about our church right here? Is this a room of faith? You know? Are there encouraging words being spoken here? You know, are there words that lift people? You know, are there words of joy? Are there joyful words spoken in this space? Yes, I hope so. You know, we have to watch your words. I like this one side. Watch your words, right? Watch your thoughts because they become words. Watch your words. Big emphasis on words because they become actions. Watch your actions, they become habits. Watch your habits, they become your character. Watch your character, they later become your destiny. But so much is wrapped up in the words that we speak, right? God has given this part of our anatomy to be used in the right way. It's so powerful. You know, and in every way, in the negative and in the positive, we've got to use it in the right way. You know, we create many rooms, many spaces, right, individually. For example, you know, my father. As a father, my words really matter, don't they? I'm also a pastor. As a pastor, my words really matter. As a coach, as a mentor, my words really matter. As a friend, my words really matter. See, if I can get people who want to be in my space, then I could have a tremendous influence and impact on them, right? Yep. That's what God wants us to have. Create that space that people want to be in. Nothing will destroy your space quicker than criticism and complaining. You know, our words have such great impact. The question is, what kind of impact do they have? See, they can have either one impact or another kind of impact. For example, here's what our words, your words can either harm or they can heal. Your words can bring discouragement or encouragement. Your words can undermine or protect, strengthen or destroy, right? They can pervert the things or they can straighten things out. Your words can deceive or they can be truthful words that sets people free. Your words can be helpful, hurtful, or they can be helpful. Your words can bring either death or they can bring life. You see, but there's no in between. It's either one or the other, right? So we have to watch what we say. See, your words are creative. They have power. They affect other people, but not only do they affect other people, they also affect you. The words that you speak, they actually go deep into your soul and into your spirit. Your thoughts and your words can literally determine who you are and where you will go in this life. It's a small rudder, but it directs the whole course of your life. It's powerful. And we have to be more aware of the power of our words, right? Your words affect you, and they go deep. Words like, oh, I'm tired. You know, it's amazing how tired you get when you're always saying, oh, I'm tired. Right? Do you agree? How about this one, guys? You know, I get a little tick in my throat. I'm sick. Oh, I tell my wife, sweetie, I'm so sick. I can't get up to serve you. I can't help you. I can't be nice to you today because I'm sick. Hello, men. They say guys like babies when they get sick, right? Except Dan. He's Dan Fox is an exception, right, Suzanne? No, there you go. How about this? I suck at everything. Did you ever hear people say that? I'm not good enough. I'm not smart enough. Right? How about I'm depressed? You see, you can't get away from your own words. You speak these things, you continually speak those negative things. You literally are putting a blanket around you that you can't, that literally goes with you. It's like Linus's blanket, right? Penis. But not only is it your words literally wrap around you in your life, they go deep into your soul and deep into your spirit. When you keep on saying the negative things about yourself and what the enemy speaks to you and what people who don't like you say to you, and you repeat those in your mind and you believe those things, they go deep into your soul and your spirit. When you continually saying things like, things never work out for me, you know, I suck, I can't do anything. You know what it does? Health studies that actually say that your words and your thoughts and the mouths that you speak form neural pathways in your brain. That those negative thoughts are so ingrained in your brain, they form pathways on which those thoughts travel along. And you've got to do something about those pathways. And the first thing you need to do is stop thinking and stop saying those negative things about yourself. Amen? They start to disintegrate and start saying positive, powerful things, especially God's words over your life. They form new pathways that travel on that give you faith and hope, right? And change your future. Because what you think and what you say will determine who you are and where you go. Amen? I should know that. I'm preaching to myself too as well. Words are powerful and you just can't get away from them. Maybe this is why God says in His Word, Joel chapter 3, verse 10. Let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich for what the Lord has done. Amen? You know, this is that message version. Says, let the weak throw out his chest and say, I'm tough. I'm a fighter. You know, I am strong. I can do this. God is with me. You know, I'm an overcomer through Christ. God has called me. He's called me. He's anointed me. You know, I can do all things through Him who gives me strength. Philippians 3:13, right? Let's declare God's word over our life. 1 Samuel chapter 30 is a story of David and his mighty men. You know, they're hiding from Saul. They're ready to go into battle. They live in this town in Philistine territory called Ziklag. And they left Ziklag. They go to join the Philistine army, but they get sent back because the army captain thinks that, you know, because David is a Hebrew, he's going to turn in allegiance and he's going to turn on us because we're fighting Saul, but King Saul's his king. But, you know, anyway, the whole story is he gets sent back to Ziklag with all his mighty men. And when they come back, these vicious people called the Amalekites have sacked the city, they sacked the town, destroyed everything. And they took all of David's and his men's wives and children and took them and they fled. David returns with his army of men and they are so upset. All their loved ones have gone. You know, and they just weep until they can't weep anymore. And it says in 1 Samuel chapter 30 verse 6, it says that David was greatly distressed. Not only that, because of that, but because the men were talking of stoning him. He was the leader. You're responsible for this, David. And each one was bitter in spirit because of his sons and daughters. Wouldn't you be bitter too as well? But it says here, but David found his strength in the Lord his God. Found his strength. He didn't give up. He didn't flee. He got up. He just went to God and he started talking to God. And he started talking God's plan for his life. He encouraged himself in the Lord. He strengthened himself in the Lord. He gathered those men together and said, come on, let's do something. We can do something about this. No problem is too big for God, and therefore for us. And they went back and they went after him and they destroyed that army, took their loved ones back. Amen. You know, one of the heroes of my faith, of my life, the heroes of faith to me is Pastor Mel Mullen. You know, and Pastor Mel is just an incredible man of God to me. He's one of my coaches and mentors and in our life. And Pastor Mel, some of you maybe read his book called Be a Man. It's an autobiography. And in that book, he tells a story about his father and how his father went through a tremendous, I don't know what happened in his childhood, but anyway, struggled with thoughts of suicide. And he was always struggling with depression. Depressed and struggling with suicide, he went to a mental institution and was separated from his family. Well, in the course of events, his dad does come to Christ, praise God. But in the end, he succumbs again to those negative thoughts and thoughts of suicide, ends up taking his life. But you know what happened out of that was Pastor Mel started to experience the same type of things in his life. He started getting thought, you know, he struggled with depression. He struggled with thoughts of suicide. You know, his life was set heading in the same course. He had to change his life. How did he do that? You know how he did it? He did it when he started to change his thoughts and change the words that he spoke. He rearranged his life by rearranging his thoughts and the words that started coming out of his mouth. He got into the Word of God. He meditating on words, the Word of God, and applied it to his own life. He declared the things of God for himself. He believed it. And literally, his life has turned around. Pastor Mal is an amazing man. I've never met anyone who is more faith-filled and more positive than Pastor Mal in my life. And that's why I love him, because he's a tremendous encourager. If you follow him on Facebook, you can't even keep up to him. He's well into his 70s. And he's doing things like, you know, young men don't even attempt to do anymore. He's into Russia. He sends me a text. Doug, you got to come. I got to talk to you about Russia. God is opening the doors to Russia. You know, I was there. You know, we got to do something. I'm going to talk to you about that. It's amazing. Faith-filled, positive man. Proverbs chapter 10 talks about four kinds of words. Four kinds of words that we should speak. Speak to other people. Speak to ourselves. Proverbs 10 verse 11. Though the words of the godly are what? A life-giving fountain. Verse 21. The words of the godly do what? Come on, say it out loud. The words of the godly encourage many. Right? Verse 31. The mouth of the godly person gives wise advice. Okay, one more. The words, verse 32, the words of the godly speak helpful words, but the mouth of the wicked speaks perverse words. So the question for myself and other people is, what are your words? What kind of words are you speaking? Are they life-giving words? Are they encouraging words? Are they helpful words? Are they wise words? What kind of words are you speaking, right? So you say, okay, Pastor Doug, okay, maybe my mouth isn't always doing those things, so how can I change my speech? How can I change this rudder, which will end up changing the whole course of my life? How do I go from being negative to being more positive? How do I do that? How do I make an impact? How can I give life-giving words instead of curses to other people? How can I speak blessing and not curses? How can I do that? Good question. I'm going to give you four things, and we'll wrap it up pretty quickly. Number one, here's how you do it. Write these things down. Take a note. Number one, dedicate your mouth to God. Dedicate your mouth to God. I don't know if you guys had this problem. I had a big problem. When I first came to Christ, I gave my heart to Jesus. You know, and I was supposed to become a new creation. I was supposed to change. But one thing that was hard to change was what was coming out of my mouth. You know, when I came to Christ, you know, I was young, in my 20s, and at that, my language was filled with F-bombs and S-bombs, and I also used the Lord's name in vain as a curse word, and they just automatically came out of my mouth. Do you ever experience that, guys? Do you, anybody experience that? I'm the only one? Okay, you guys are so good. You know what I had to? I had to get on my knees and say, God, change my mouth. You know, make what comes out of my mouth glorifying to you, right? And that's what exactly what Proverbs 19:10, where the writer says, may these words of my mouth and this meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Change the way I speak. Change my mouth, Lord. May they be pleasing in your sight. Isaiah, we know, is a mighty prophet of God. You read the book of Isaiah, it's really long, right? And it's really connected to the New Testament. Anyway, Isaiah was one day in Isaiah chapter 6, he's sitting in the presence of God. He's got a call of God in his life, and it's to be a prophet to the nations, right? And so he's sitting there, and he's getting his vision of God, sees the Lord high and lifted up, and then all of a sudden, this, it's like he realizes he's in the holy presence of God, and he realizes that he's unclean. And that's what's happened when you sit in the holy presence of God, right? And he cries out, he says, Lord, I'm a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people who are unclean. So help me. And then his vision, he sees this, you know, the seraph from this angel take a red hot coal from the fire and picks it up with tongs and touches his lips with it, and literally changes the way he speaks. And then the Lord says to him, I'm looking for a man who will speak my words to him. And Isaiah says, I'm ready, Lord. My lips are sanctified. He said, use me. God made him a prophet to the nations. But he had to change the way that he talks. Sometimes we got to change this part of us before God can really use us to really help people. Amen? Dedicate your mouth to God. Dedicate it. So start speaking his word over your life, but first put God's word in you so that God's word comes out of you. Amen? Number two, fill your mouth with praise to God. Fill your mouth with praise. Hebrews 13:15. Therefore, let us offer through Jesus a continual sacrifice of praise to God, proclaiming our allegiance to his name. That's constantly praising. Listen, how can negative come out of your mouth when you're praising him, when you're praising God? God, you're so good. Jesus, I love you. Thank you, Jesus, for all that you do for me. Amen? Let's praise more, right, than we ever do. Let's start praising God. You know, when bad things happen, stop that bomb from coming out of your mouth and say, praise God, right? Praise God. I don't like what happened, but I know that, you know, whatever happened, you're going to take care of it, right? You're going to help me. Amen? Here's a big one. Number three, shut your big fat mouth. Shut it. Zip it. And sometimes, if necessary, wash it out with soap. Right? Here's three problems. Proverbs 21:23, watch your tongue and keep your mouth shut, and you will stay out of trouble. Good words, right? This is another proverb that says, starting a quarrel is like breaching a dam, right? So drop the matter before a dispute breaks out. Good words, right? How about Proverbs 10:19? Too much talk leads to sin. Be sensible and keep your mouth shut. Okay, one more. Proverbs 14, verse 3. A fool's proud talk becomes a rod that beats him, but the words of the wise keep them safe. I say, you know, listen, if you got nothing good to say, then shut up. Say nothing. Isn't that good advice? That's what he's saying here. One more. Can I give you one more? Open your mouth to bring life. Open your mouth to bring life. Jesus says in a couple of the Gospels, he said, if you have faith, even as small as a mustard, you can speak to mountains and they would move. That's the power of the words that come out of your mouth they can literally move mountains. They can break through obstacles and hard times and difficult situations in your life if you speak words of faith and words of grace and words of hope, amen, and words of courage. They're powerful. Open your mouth to bring life. Proverbs 15, verse 4. The soothing tongue is a tree of life, but a perverse tongue crushes the spirit that brings death. A tree of life. Your tongue can be a tree of life, right? Life-giving, helpful, encouraging, wise words can come out of your mouth. That's what God wants to flow out of our mouth. There's another scripture. It's not on your screen. Proverbs 18:20. For the fruit of their mouth, from the fruit of their mouth, a person's stomach is filled. With the harvest of their lips, they are satisfied. The tongue has the power of life and death. Wow, what kind of words are you speaking? Good word, right? Can we do something? Can we do something very simple? Let's stand. I'll let you sit. Just stand for a minute. who would agree that, yeah, they could do better with the way that they speak with your mouth? Huh? Who could do better? All right. Is there one here that thinks they don't have to do any better? Oh, I'm so glad. Okay, here's what I want you to do. Can you put your hand to your mouth? And we're going to do the first thing. We're going to dedicate our mouths to God. We're going to dedicate our mouths, okay? We're going to declare and dedicate your mouth. Okay, put your hand there. Say these words. This mouth is dedicated. This mouth will praise God. This mouth will shut when it needs to. This mouth will open to bring life. In Jesus' name, amen. Now I want you to proclaim God's blessing over your life. Can you do that? Okay, so maybe put your hands up and say these words. I am the head, not the tail. I'm at the top, not the bottom. I'm blessed in the city. I'm blessed in the country. I'm blessed, and therefore my children will be blessed. In Jesus' name. And if you agree, shout amen. 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 Okay, please be seated. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the awesome power of your word to change us. Now that we declare that, Lord, I pray, Holy Spirit, your conviction would come. Every time we find ourselves criticizing, complaining, lying, you know, doing those things, gossiping, I pray such a Holy Spirit of conviction that we literally stop and we change and say, God, help me to change the way I speak. Amen? Amen. You know, if you're here today, maybe you're here today and you've never really personally invited Jesus Christ into your heart. You know, the most powerful thing that the word does is that it establishes your faith. This Romans 10, 9 and 10 says, if you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and if you believe in your heart, you'll be saved. You receive salvation. You believe that God raised him from the dead. So, if you're here today and you've never invited Christ into your heart, if you don't know where you're going, if you left this earth and you died tomorrow or even today, if you're not sure, you can know today that there's a heaven for you. There's a place that God has prepared for you. But not only does he want to prepare and give you this gift of eternal life in heaven, he wants to give you a brand new life right now, a brand new start. Jesus called it being born again. It's like being born again with a new life, new future, new potential, new purpose, new power, new person, a new relationship with Jesus. Amen? If that's you, you've never done this. Maybe you believed in God. Maybe you believe in Jesus, but you've never made a declaration with your mouth and invited into your heart. You can do that right now. So can you say these words after me? Dear Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner. I believe that you died on the cross to pay for all my sins. I repent of my sins. And I thank you that all my sins are forgiven through your precious blood. Today, Lord, I invite you to